Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He's truly and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God has great things in store for each of us, and I want to see the best happens toward His people. The last broadcast, the Lord had me warning people about not being here when the rapture happens. And you don't have to be. Information is golden. There's a lot of clouds out there. There's a lot of fog out there to keep people in the dark. There's been a lot of false teaching, false information, compromise. And it can interfere with how you choose. Misinformation is bad. And God is too good to believe a lie in the very last days. These are the last days. These are the end times. I've been teaching on all these broadcasts was concerning end times. Now, I don't always mention end times, but the Lord has given me systematic messages, every one. You know, the Lord wants us to know how to live in the end times and how to go forward in the end times because He loves us in these times. And we need to be aware of what's happening. We need to be savvy because God loves us. He cares about every part of our life. Every part. And He wants us to go forward boldly, doing His will. Now, these days are almost at its close. I don't know the day or hour, but I know that it's high time for people to know God. And you can't trust compromised messages. The Lord once told me it's everybody's responsibility. Everybody's responsible for their own salvation. That means it's up to you to take God at His word and hear Him out. It's your business. The word of God is your business. And people suffer because they don't know. Lack of knowledge is the main reason people die. And the Lord taught me, you know, I love God. And I've been following God, learning of Him. And the Lord have taught me all kind of things. And about a year ago, I thought about something. I said, Lord, a lot of people suffer with depression. And I said, you never taught me about depression. And I never really asked you about depression. And I said, I want you to teach me about depression. Because I want to know. Because people who are depressed, it's like they don't snap out of it. They're living in a gloom cloud. And they can't see any better. And they do things they shouldn't do. They ruin relationships. They stop taking care of themselves. You see the commercials on TV, they wear a mask representing people who are depressed and they try to go through the day. And it's like they got a mask on. And they're hiding their secret misery. So I said, well, Lord, where does it come from? What teach me about depression? And it was real short and simple. He said, it starts with a sorrow. It starts with a sorrow. Something disappointing has happened. And it causes them to lose their strength. Now, I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to start somewhere else. Years ago, when the Lord would give me a message, I would feel powerful. When the Lord give me a message, that word, I could feel it in my bosom. It's like fire shut up in my bones. I could not wait to minister that word. That word was alive in me, and it gave me strength. It was very edifying. And that word wanted to get out. It wanted to go to the people God sent it to. So I couldn't wait till the day that I would preach that word. And so the word was in there, and the enemy knew it. So he sent disappointing things to happen so I'd lose the charge of the word of God. And after about 2 weeks of this, or 3 weeks, by the time I got ready to preach, I had to read the same message off the paper. and some of my sermons would be so dry. And this went on for years. I said, Lord, why is it when you give me a word, I feel edified and strong? I can't wait. I'm enthused. But by the time I get ready to preach it, I feel drained. And then the Lord said, the enemy's been siphoning the word out of your heart. Oh. So that taught me a lesson. Another thing happened. The word virtue, the way it was applied in 2 Peter, add to your faith virtue. And then in Mark chapter 5, when the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, virtue went out of it. I said, I looked it up and it meant honorable living, power, things like that. But it did not hit the spot. I said, Lord, what is your definition of virtue? Now, most preachers go to the Greek or the Hebrew and look up the original word that it was originally written in to get the definitions. But sometimes you need to ask the Lord what it meant. Because men use the closest words they have to describe the things of God. And men have fallen. So some of our best attempts to describe what God is talking about really don't exist in our language. Now, hold that thought. This is what he answered me about the word virtue, and it made everything very clear and vivid to me. He said, virtue is the amount of God's word in your heart. That's how much word is in you. Whether you heard it through other people talking, you've been around people talking about, that word can get in you just from here, overhearing conversations. And it turns into faith. And it helps you withstand the darkness of this world, the fog and the clouds and the lies and the compromise and the greed and the lust. All these things come to attack you. They carry you down a deep ditch. But the word builds you up. And you can see through eyes of faith. You can see things for what they truly are. You can see what's for you and what's against you. And the Holy Spirit has something to work with and relate to you with. So you don't think you have to study the word and then act right. No. If you're trying to overcome anything, fill your heart with God's word against the problem. And fill your heart with God's word that give things that give you joy and insight and understanding and courage and bravery. Read the word and see yourself doing the greater things. Because the word is in you, building you up. Just like when you're in God's presence, you feel like you can do anything. And I said, Lord, I want to live in your presence. But there's no substitute for receiving God's word in your heart. Now back to depression. A person that's depressed, it starts with a sorrow. One thing about worry destroys the strength you already have. It works against what you already got. Doubt stops your faith. Fear drives you to destruction. Whenever people fear something, that fear causes them to make every necessary choice to cause what they fear to come to pass. It's crazy, but that's how it is. That's how it works. So fear is so evil, God never gave man the spirit of fear. He don't give his people the spirit of fear. But he'll let his enemies be scattered. And he'll even do that in his mercy so that they don't get killed sometime. But not his people. Fear is an evil thing to give somebody. So I don't believe in using fear tactics. God didn't give me fear. I'm not going to give you fear. Even when I talk about hell, that's a reality. I'm trying to get you to avoid it, not be afraid of it. In fact, when I went to hell, when the Lord took me there in that dream, I was not afraid of it because I was saved. I was there as an observer. Even though it took me by surprise, I wasn't afraid of it. Because God didn't give me fear. Now, Satan tried to bluff me into fear and something, but I just rebuked. I said, get out of my face in Jesus' name. And he leave. And I don't act on fear. But back to depression. it kind of works with worry. When there's a sorrow, once you it weakens the worry. Everybody that worry, they get weaker and weaker. And then when they go to church and get strengthened, they feel better. They go home and they start talking. And once they start worrying, they get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Now depression does the same thing. Depression is looking at something and the sorrow is growing, and they're not doing anything about it. And they don't snap out of it. You snap out of it by looking at what's right, looking at what you have. If a loved one die, that's not the end of the world. That person was going to die anyway. If they died miserably, you got to live. If there were things you wish you had said and you didn't get to say them, just start treating people right from this point on. But depression and grief can hurt you. And you'll miss out on the blessings that God has given you. You can't change the past, but you can be saved and change the future. You can change your course. In order to kill depression, because I don't believe in letting the problems of Satan linger in my life, I like to attack it. When Satan used to tempt me with women, everywhere I went, it wasn't normal. Women would flirt. It was crazy. That wasn't normal. Then he tried hard to tempt me along those lines. I said, that's just the devil. And I asked the Lord how to deal with it. You can kill lust with generosity. Be kind. Love people. That's how I destroyed lust. I loved the people that he was trying to tempt me with. I loved them with the God kind of love, not the Satan kind of lust. Satan don't love nobody. And it worked. Now I'm saying these things because it's true. So you can build you can fill your heart with the Word of God and destroy depression out of your life. Now I'm going to go for what God wanted me to get to. I was reading in Romans last time. I'm going to start at verse 16 because we're almost out of time. Verse 16 reads, this is Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of God, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That looks just like the country right now. Men want to marry men. Women want to marry women. That's not a marriage. God didn't sanction that. That's not of God. That's not even natural. Stop it. Just stop it. Got the children pausing, believing that they can do this. Stop it. Just stop it. Repent. Go back to God. Stop falling away. Get out of deception. You know, we got these, the president sanctioned same-sex marriage. Hillary Clinton. The Supreme Court. It's not going to work. When he did that, I was ready for him to go back to Chicago. And I loved the guy. But, you know, I was thinking of the children. The children believe these lies. Preachers believe these lies. Not the real ones, but see, anytime there's an evil influence, it leads to problems. You can trace all depression back to wickedness. Back to sorrows. Things people put in motion that should not have ever been put in motion. And if you try to live the wrong way, it's going to cause you to be in disagreement with the God who can help you. And that's not right. That's not living. So I'm going to tell you the truth. I want people to know God. Now, I don't hate these politicians. They're just people. But Satan played them. I will say Satan played the ones that did this, the judges that rule that way. He played them bad. And they'll be judged for it unless they repent. The blood of Jesus is so strong, they can be forgiven for this stupid stuff they did. But if God give them over to a reprobate heart, they will never be saved. If they don't change their ways, they will die. Terribly. And I don't want that to happen, but that's how it is. That's the most dangerous thing when the Lord give you over to a reprobate mind. You won't have a mind to repent. Your heart is, it'll become so hard that you won't listen. It's against nature. It's not what God intended. But remember, whatever man do, the earth will do too, because man has dominion over it. So if you don't want these volcanoes to blow up, and if you don't want the winds to come wipe whole towns off the face of the earth, don't stop it. Stop seeing it. You hadn't seen the fury of a hurricane yet. And the more people do these things, the more disasters we have. Now you got a generation that's just wild. What are they going to do? What kind of influence will they have? What will they leave behind? And what will the earth do after they do what they do? God gave us the pattern. Cain killed Abel. And the earth wouldn't grow nothing he planted. Because man has dominion over the earth. So, if you murder people and do wrong to people and curse a generation with your wickedness, what will the earth do? What will the animals do? What will the wind do? What will the rain do? But people say, well, that science don't believe. Science don't have to believe. Science don't know everything. The scientist, the one that taught evolution, listening to that foolish Darwin. And then on his old deathbed, he got saved. But Satan bluffed him. And he brought a curse on people, a lie. That, if he didn't do it, somebody else would have done it. Satan was going to find a cheap fool to lie to. Somebody that he could deceive and cheat people out of their destiny. But you have to watch your influence. Even if you're wrong, you have influence. And Satan is looking for foolish men that'll believe a lie. All it is rebellion. All pride is opposition. The pride of life. Not when you're glad that your son made a touchdown. That's not what I'm talking about. But the pride of life. I'm better than you. Everybody should listen to me. I've qualified myself to do something I've never learned. That's demonic. It's opposition. Because when people get in pride, they won't listen to God. They rebel against Him. They always do. Now, I'm not mad at the people. I stay mad at Satan. He's the one that influenced people wrong. He gave them false information and they ran with it. Or they got in pride and they went in a state of rebellion and they did things they shouldn't have done. And sometimes people lose loved ones. They get mad at God and then Satan come and fill their mind with poison. You can't trust to be depressed. You can't even trust yourself when you're depressed. And you can't trust people who are depressed. Even though you love them, you can't trust them to be healthy. And helping them can be a challenge. Because the way to kill it, the way to kill all depression and unrighteousness is love God. Receive His word. Put on a CD that has the Bible and just listen to the Word of God. Listen to it until you feel better. And when you feel better, you start feeling stronger. Keep listening to the Word of God. Study it, read it, listen to it on a CD, listen to it on an iPhone, whatever you have. I do it while I work. I listen to the Word of God. And the Lord prescribed books for me to listen to. Most of the time it's Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Sometimes He'll have me listen to Revelation, the whole book, again and again. There was a season I listened to 1 Samuel all the way to 2 Chronicles. I learned about all the kings that Israel ever had, Israel and Judah. And I learned so much about men and mankind that some of it I couldn't even put in words. I saw patterns. And one thing I remember learning is that whenever somebody's in charge of something, whatever they're in charge of will take on their personality. But I learned that I didn't read that as a scripture, but I learned that from hearing God's word. See, an education is in the process of learning. And as you act on the word of God, you finish learning. You learn even more. I won't say you finished completely learning, but you learn much more than you did when you first read it and agreed with it. Agreeing with it is a big step, because that'll help you. If you can agree with it, you can believe it. If you can believe it, that's faith. You have faith in it. If you have faith in it, you will speak it, because the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. And when you speak it, you will do it. See, whenever you want to change something in your life, receive God's word and speak it into your life. Your tongue your tongue plots the course of your destiny. Your tongue, what you say with your mouth, is the way you change your path or stay on the correct path. And when you know, when God confirms that you're on the right path, or let's say you want to get married, and then the Lord confirms your choice. as being good. Once he do that, contend for that choice. Because when the enemy come with his challenges, don't let him bluff you out of that good relationship. And all of your good friends, people that God have let you know that they are your friends, contend for that friendship. Don't let the troubles that the enemy send separate you from that friend. And that happens. Sometimes when the enemy wants to destroy somebody, he'll give them ill news against the person that loves them the most. Sometimes the pastor that really loves you, pray for you, pray you through, bless you, he'll cause you to look at their faults and divide you away from their church in order to suffocate your life and drive the word that they put in you out. And then he sent miseries to get you in forms of worry and down to depression. And see, if you get depressed and there's no, and the word that you had is gone, the charge of God's word is gone, then it's like you collapse from the outside in. The word that once filled your heart like a good balloon, you know, a helium balloon, it can lift a car if it's big enough. But if you suck all the helium out of it, it will collapse and it can't pick up a feather. Like the Goodyear blimp. Like the Hindenburg. They could hold thousands of pounds full of, when they were full of hot air and helium. Hydrogen. The Word of God. When the Word of God is in you, you can do what you normally couldn't do. But with you take that away from a man, even a Christian man, they collapse. They can't see themselves being any better off. And when you tell them God about God's word, they can't see it happening for them. And when you tell them it happened for somebody else, they happen for that person, but they can't see it for themselves because of depression. And that's not the way God intended for you to live. So if you don't want depression in your life, don't trust to do wickedness. And don't trust people who do wickedness. The enemy is trying to destroy all of us. And pray for the presidents. It's not personal. People like to make it personal. If I don't like him, I'm excused from praying for him. That's not the way it is. The Lord said, pray for all of them. The good ones, the bad ones, the ugly ones, the contrary ones, the proud ones, and the stupid ones. God can cause them to make the right decision so you can live good. And then don't hate them. I don't want Hillary Clinton to go to hell or Bill Clinton to go to hell. They did evil. I don't want Barack Obama to go to hell. He did some doozies. And he did some good too. But when he lit up the White House, I said, I'm ready for him to go on back to Chicago. But I don't want him to be lost. From all of my heart, I don't. I don't like what he did. But he probably don't like what I do either. I don't care. But I don't want him to go to hell. And I don't like to browbeat people. You know, he made a choice. He didn't have to do that. Because, you know, thousands of children, even maybe millions of children, can miss heaven over that. When you do something as a president and it's wrong, you know, now think about it this way. Everybody dead, you know, 100 years from now, we'll all be dead. If the rapture don't happen, we will not be here in 100 years. 100 years gone by. This whole generation's gone. They're not here no more. Everybody alive now dead. Now, then you're going to see how many people went to hell because of your action. Now, how you going to feel then? Cousins. Cousins of cousins. Friends of cousins. People that even look like you. People that resemble you. They're in misery because of your selfish ways. Because of your dead influence. Now, see, the Lord thinks of everything. But the choices you make now can keep some of them out of that problem, out of that misery. Now, what if you were following God, on fire for God, you were in the hot church, you love God, you did, you know, you pray for people, you seek God so you can be a blessing. And you see thousands and thousands, even millions of people that lived and got saved. And some of them lived a better life and got stronger and won even more people because of your life. Now, don't underestimate God with what he can do with your life. He can take a few years of your life in faith and cause you to set things in motion that will cause millions of people to be saved. And some people, in their work of the ministry, doesn't cause people to get saved. It causes people who are saved to bear more fruit. And ultimately, the fruit that they bear causes people to get saved. And not only are they saved, they lived a strong life while they were here. They left a legacy so that long after they are dead, people are still being blessed. Kenneth Hagin died in 2003. His tapes are still being heard. His CDs are still being heard. People are still receiving answers from the Lord by his recordings and by the books, the millions of books that he sold.